Community Radio. Your hosts, Mike and Ellie, plan to delve into the controversial subject of religion and the paranormal.
Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray to the Lord, my soul to be.
Paratrinity Radio, where nothing is sacred. Powered by the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. And we're back. We're going to try this again. Welcome to Paratrinity Radio. I'm your host, Mike.
And I'm Ellie.
And it's another ugly Saturday night here in Ohio. And rainy, and well, it has been rainy today. The past week has been all rainy and yucky and cold and windy. We even got snow. That ain't right.
No, it isn't.
It's snow. But we're here. We're happy. It's all good. This is Paratrinity Radio. Can't go wrong there. So, welcome everyone, whoever's listening. People in the chat room, thank you for coming by, ASPRN. And people, if there are people listening not in the chat room, come over to the chat room, please. We would love to hear from you. ASPRN.com/, or is that forward slash?
Forward.
Forward.
StudioB.html. I do websites. I'm a web designer, and I don't know the difference between a backslash and a forward slash. That says a lot.
Dude, I went to school for computers, and I don't know the difference between a forward and a backslash.
And for all those of you who have missed past shows, because they're all just so awesome, you can go check them out at paratrinityradio.podomatic.com. We've got them all up there. And we also have them and our guest list and all sorts of good, exciting stuff at our website, paratrinityradio.com. So check out those websites after the show. Don't do it now because you got to stay here and chat and listen. But after the show, feel free to check all those out. And tonight we are actually going without a guest. Our guest that was booked was Rick Moran. And unfortunately, we were very sad to hear that he has recently passed away, a very tragic loss in the paranormal field. He was kind of an icon in the field. Amityville debunker. He worked in that case. I think he worked real close with John Zaffis there. So it's just me, Ellie, and our producer, and we'll be chatting and complaining and doing what we do for the next about hour and a half.
Yes, and hopefully you all can stand to hear just the three of us.
It'll be fun. So that was all the introductory stuff. Do you have any other introductory stuff that I missed?
No, just welcome to the show. Have a good time listening.
That works.
All right, now let's get on to that rant you were talking about.
We'll get there. It has to build up. Can't just dive right into it. But first I want to mention something about last week's show. And last week's show was great. For those of you who weren't here, it was a
paranormal threesome.
You could call it that. It was a discussion between an atheist, a Christian, a semi-Christian, and a witch.
Sounds like the start of a joke.
And some of the discussions got a little heated, and some chat room got a little overzealous at times and whatnot. And I just want to throw this out there because of something that happened after the show and stuff that in the emails we got and whatnot. And just remember on this show what the guests say and what the guests can say, and what happens on the air is a lot different than what can be said in the chat room. And I know that may not make sense to all of you, but there is a reason for that. What we say on air is disclaimered. We have a disclaimer. We have our bases covered. What's said in the chat room is just kind of out there. And I can't really explain it real well, but what's said on air is a lot different than what's said in the chat room. So we have to be much more stringent and careful about how the chat room runs than we do what's said with our guests on air.
Mike, I want to expound on that just a little bit because...
Because you're a little more knowledgeable on how that works.
Well, yeah, because, well, I don't know about knowledgeable. This just really comes from a lot of experience. And it really comes down to, we're live on the radio, and we have our disclaimer. You heard it at the beginning. If you want, I can play it again. But it basically says, what we say as show hosts and our guests do not necessarily reflect the views of the show host, the guests, or the radio station.
Or its affiliates.
Or its affiliates, sponsors, great-grandmothers, or their half-nieces on their uncle's sister's mother's side. So. Our opinions are our opinions. It's not yours. It's not someone else's. And just take it at that. It's our opinion. If you want to discuss the opinion, that's fine. Discuss the opinion. But if you, in the chat room, start saying some things, it very much puts the radio station in a very actionable position, which means if you say something to the effect of, Mike, the host of the show, is a liar, and I can prove it, and he stole this, and you know, he likes to eat puppies on the weekends, and those are very libelous statements, which means that at that point, if someone were to write that in the chat room, you as host can sue that person, and that person can counter-sue the radio station for being attacked by the host. Which means that the owners of the station can say, not anymore. ASPRN no longer exists. You will not have a radio show. You will not have a radio station to listen to. And you can very much find us and yourself in court fighting back and forth over something as stupid as he likes to eat puppies on the weekends.
That is true.
So, my point being is, if you can't sit in a chat room and behave because we're talking about something that you feel strongly against, and you can tell us that you feel strongly about it, and you can talk about it. If you're an adult, that's fine. Just be reasonable. Be nice. Be courteous. Don't be annoying. Don't be disrespectful. And we'll all be good. We'll all be happy little people. But if you get crazy, which happened last week, you will get banned, and there's no telling us otherwise. And where was I going with that statement? I completely lost the end of that statement.
Yeah, and it was so powerful, too.
I know. But I completely lost the last half I was going to say.
Well,
see if you could finish it.
Basically, if you're going to come in the chat room and enjoy our discussion, please do. We want you to. But if you can't handle it and you can't be nice about it, then just step out. Go somewhere else.
What is that saying? If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen?
Yes, that's a good one. That's exactly it. So I don't think tonight we'll get to that point, so I'm not real worried about it tonight. But I wanted to clear that up because what happened last week, we were accused of some things, and it's not the way it seemed. Because what's said on air is different, and what's allowed to be said on air is completely different than what can and should be said in the chat room.
Well, that's like the difference between TV and radio. You could say moron on one, but you can't on the other.
Exactly. Now, I do want to say this, though. At the end of every show, Mike, you do put out an email that if someone wants to, lack of a better word, bitch and moan, they can email.
Mm-hmm.
And if need be, you can put mine out there. And then that way they can either directly talk to you, or if they lack, I don't want to say have the guts, but, you know, if they want to go through a buffer of sorts, they can email me, and then I can address that issue with you.
Right.
And speaking of that, if you have a problem with us and you want to say something, email us.
Don't please talk to us.
Or even a show idea, you know, because listeners have great show ideas, you know. Mm-hmm. Get on this guy. Get on that girl. Well, I'd like that second part, but, you know. Yeah, even a show idea, you know, do a special on the K2, or bring on this person who's a demonologist, or this person who's a psychic, or let's see if you can juggle upside down, you know.
Yeah, hell, I would love to see somebody juggle upside down.
On the radio, that's great ratings right there.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, if you have a problem with us, email us. Don't go on some Facebook or MySpace or Twitter and go publicly posting Paratrinity Radio as a bunch of jerks and liars. I mean, there's no need to do that. Tell me first. Tell me I'm a jerk. Let me see if I can help you with that, and then you can go do whatever you want. There's no need of posting it all over the world.
Please, you know, I would never go on a public forum or in a public forum or go on television and say somebody's a real a-hole and, you know, attack them publicly. I just don't think it's right for people to attack others publicly without, you know, kind of trying to at least dispel some of the anger first with them specifically.
Yeah, now see, I'm with Ellie on this one. I do not believe in attacking someone publicly. If I'm going to attack someone, I'm going to kneecap him in a dark alley somewhere.
Since we're on the subject.
Yes, you would attack them in public, not attack them publicly. There's a difference.
Yes.
Since we're on the subject, my email is info@paratrinityradio.com. So if anyone has a problem with me, feel free to use that email. At paratrinityradio.com, they have a contact page, and you can see all different emails. I have an email, and Ellie has an email, and there's a, if you want to be a guest email, and a general information email, and if you want a commercial email, there's all sorts of different emails there. So,
yeah, I mean,
feel free to browse that site.
Hell, you know what? I will even do this in the chat room if you're listening and not in the chat room, go to www.asprn.com/studiob.html, and in the chat room you will see this. My email address is behindtheveil, and I will even type that because, you know, I can do that and all and still attempt to talk at the same time. behindtheveil922@yahoo.com, and that is a direct link in the chat room to the producer of Paratrinity Radio. And even if you don't want to attack Paratrinity Radio and want to say something about ASPRN or my personal show Behind the Veil or any of the shows, email me and we'll get it resolved.
Yeah, we'll kick your butt behind the scenes. Anyway, sorry.
The views and opinions expressed from our host are so.
What was that again, Mike?
The views and opinions expressed by Paratrinity Radio and their guests are solely theirs and do not represent the views and opinions of ASPRN or its affiliates.
Where or the other host.
Hey, wait a minute. Or the other host. Now, don't worry, folks. We haven't been drinking. I've only had soda.
Same here. I'm drinking a 3-liter.
Oh, good Lord.
What? This will probably last me about another hour.
Wow, an hour. That's a big liter. Anyway, so, Mike, were you going to say anything else about that?
Not about that. I was hoping it'd be a little smoother transition than that.
Well, see, I don't know where you're going because you know, I said I wanted it to be a surprise because I don't know what topics you wanted to address tonight, so I like being surprised.
I have another topic lined up, but I was waiting to kind of see if this
is the dogma topic?
What?
Is this the dogma topic?
Yeah. This is non-religious whatsoever.
So we're not going to shave dogs?
Normal.
No, we're not shaving dogs tonight.
Aww.
You're not going to talk about it, how certain actors have bigger heads than they should or something?
Well, that's just genetics.
That's kind of where this is going. It's about paranormal TV shows, so the people in there and bigger heads, yeah, it's kind of getting there, getting close. But
okay.
I guess the reason I want to bring this up here is because I haven't had a chance to bring it up anywhere else. I almost got into it on my other show, Miami Town Ghost Talk, which is on Monday nights at 10, soon to be Tuesday nights, but I almost brought it up there, but then we got all off subject and had to get back to our guests. Go figure. Had to talk to our guests.
Oh, God forbid. You asked them to come on and you actually talked to your guests? What is this world coming to?
Oh, yeah. By the way, we have George Clinton from the Parliament Funkadelic on as a guest. Say hi, George.
Hello.
See what happens, people, when we don't have a guest? We go nuts.
So I've noticed, back to my subject, since a lot of radio shows I've noticed, they kind of have that question, how do you feel about paranormal television? Does it help the field or does it hurt the field? And for a while, I thought it kind of helped and it hurt kind of equally, both a little bit of each. Some parts it helped, some parts it hurt. And I'll be honest, the reason I started in the paranormal field as an investigator is thanks to Ghost Hunters. If I had never seen or watched Ghost Hunters, I probably never would have started any of this. I probably would not be on the radio today. So I admit it got me in the field. So I guess that is a benefit to TV. It brings people into the field. However,
assuming they like us, then it may not be much of a benefit to them.
I think it brings too many people into the field. Because of TV. I think it was Jason Sullivan, always says, I could throw you and hit another paranormal group. Because there's so many everywhere. There's just thousands and thousands and thousands of groups, and just like, there's probably 20 in Cincinnati alone. There's too many groups out there, and the, the majority of them are bullshit. The majority of them are not serious about what they do. The majority of them don't care about what they do, and they're doing it hoping to get a TV show, hoping to get famous, hoping to get on TV. And they're not going to. And if they do, it's not going to get them famous. They're not going to be living in a castle like Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. It's not going to do that. And they're not in the field for the right reasons. And I guess the right reason depends on who you ask. But I think, as a general rule, 98% of the people out there would say the right reason is to help the people that need your help.
But couldn't it be the situation of like the Miss America pageant, where these women just say what they think they're supposed to say so that it sounds good and they get voted as to become Miss America or Miss Universe?
That's why paranormal investigators?
No, I'm saying maybe those paranormal investigators, the 99% that say that they do it because they want to help people, maybe it's because they just assume that's what everybody wants to hear. Like that whole, the Miss America pageant where they say, I want world peace.
Yeah, and there are groups out there that say they're all for helping, not for fame. And then the next thing you know, you see them on TV, you see them on 5 different news channels, and you see them plastered all over the place. Kind of sounds like you want fame at that point. If you don't want fame, don't go on a TV show. Especially when you had full opportunity to say no. You have to sign a contract before you go on a TV show. They don't just trick you and, ha, you're on candid camera. Now you're on TV.
No. Yeah, it's not Rumpelstiltskin.
It takes work to get on TV, and you got to do a lot of shit. I should probably stop saying that word. That's just how I get when I get a little
into it.
I love you, Mike, but I had to.
I'll stop saying that word. I apologize, everybody. But it's late, so
shit. What's up? Shit. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, folks.
So, I think a lot of people say stuff to make them look good. And
I'm with you 100% on this, Mike, because I've seen, even before the advent of taps, there really was zero. I mean, I could literally throw a rock and never hit a paranormal investigator. Now, if I throw a brick, I'm hitting 400 of them.
Right. And think about before taps. The few that there were, like the big ones, John Zaffis, the Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and the
Hans Holzer, somebody that had been around since the 30s doing this very
right.
thing.
Fathers of the paranormal, they were the best. They still are the best. And that was all that was around, was the best. and maybe it wasn't enough, so yeah, maybe they couldn't handle it all. I mean, there's a lot of ground to cover for only a handful of good investigators.
But the now thing is that if you weren't in this field, though, you didn't necessarily hear much about them. You didn't see their faces on every magazine out there. You didn't, you know, ooh, there's an interview, there's a book signing, you know, up the wazoo.
Or if
from
you
them.
Did, it was a once every 5 year special on Fox or
right.
Or A&E or something like that. It was one of those once in a blue moon. Ooh, there's a ghost show on. Let's tune in and watch all the, you know, pictures and video of mists and things like that. And then it was like a short interview with them.
Right.
And you get an hour, and then the next thing is a UFO. And then after that, an hour of Bigfoot. And then after that, it's news.
But now it's just too much. There's...
An oversaturation.
Yeah, no offense, but there's too many idiots out there. And
I'll agree with that.
Well, that's the way of the world. That's Darwin's problem. But
two idiots, you're right.
I'll agree with that, Mike, but I'll also say that it has brought out some people, it's brought them a little amount of recognition at this point in time, but some that I do believe have the wherewithal to one last throughout all the stuff and who really have a good mind towards it. Some that are bringing in new technologies. I'll give Barry Fitzgerald a little bit of credit here with the full spectrum camera, although it's, you know, $10 billion and everyone in the world wants one now. But him taking a regular digital SLR to someone and having them tweak it to where it's not right. It's not just visible light spectrum that is picking up now. Now it's picking up more than what it should. It's picking up, you know, the infrared and well, I can't say it's picking up X-rays. If it was picking up X-rays, then it would be a full spectrum camera, but it's picking up more than what we normally would with the naked eye or a regular digital camera.
Well, I'm not going to say that there are no good groups out there. There's plenty. I mean, I know that it's brought in a lot of good groups, but I think
a lot of technological innovations.
Right. I think the technology would have come, regardless of how many new groups came in, at some point it would have come. But I think TV has brought in people, and those people that came in were taught from what they watched on TV, and what is seen on TV is not really how it's supposed to or is really done. Mm-hmm. And there are certain shows, or I don't want to name them, but there are certain shows out there that are completely ridiculous. And, like starting a fire in a building to help stir up the spirits. Who does that? I mean, you can't do that. And there's...
Apparently I missed a show where someone did that.
Yes.
Yes.
You did.
Who in the hell did that? Set fire to someone else's property in order to stir the spirits.
It was like a ritual, and they put a little, it was almost like a little bonfire, I guess you could say. It wasn't a full burn the building down fire, but it was like a small fire, supposedly contained and controlled, but fire is never fully controlled.
Holy and crikey, those people need to be bitch slapped for that. You don't set fire to someone else's house. It's freaking arson. I don't care if you have their permission or not. You know, you walk in, ritual or whatever, you claim whatever you want to claim on TV, but the second that you start doing something stupid like that, mm-hmm. you just open... What would have happened if the fire would have gotten out of control? Oh, you said we could do it. Yeah, but we didn't say you could burn down our house.
And there are certain shows out there that don't show bad examples. I mean, Ghost Hunters doesn't show bad examples. It just makes it seem like a lot more fun than it really is, because they don't show the other 6 hours of sitting around absolutely nothing happening. So, I mean, it's not really teaching the negatives to the Ghost Hunters that are coming in the field. But since Ghost Hunters started, because I think that was one of the first real paranormal reality shows, all these other shows have come in, and the majority of these other shows have something about them that teaches wrong. I mean, one of them is pretty much go in and provoke, and that's all it is, and then run like a little girl when the ghost comes out, jump out of windows.
It's the ratings factor. If you don't have an audience because you're not doing something so outrageous, then you don't have an audience. And the more outrageous you go, the more people want to watch it.
Right, and that's where I have a problem with TV. People do anything for ratings.
Unfortunately, they're going to end up jumping the shark.
Right.
And there's rumors, some of them fake their evidence. And I don't know if they do. I don't know if it's true. I can't answer that, and I'm not going to accuse any of them of doing it. But there are rumors that they do. And if that's the case, just for ratings, that kind of makes us, the paranormal field, look bad. It doesn't...
The legitimate investigators, it makes them, it gives them a bad name, because here they are, the ones that are actually out there, tromping through, and it, through the, what do you call those things, not the foxhole, but the trenches. I mean, really out there. They're out there every week, every weekend, for hours at a time. Not just one, two, or three people, but we're talking groups of people that are out there and really attempting to study the phenomenon, help people that are terrified in their own homes or their businesses or something to that effect. Those are the people that really need to be lauded for what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It gives them a bad name because
You've
got one group that fakes evidence, they get called out on it, that puts suspicion in, you know, it's very much like, you know, every scientist in the world, you know, hey, we found a new planet, can you prove it? Well, yeah, look, here it is on a picture. And then you go down to the local, you know, Walmart or Meijer or what, you know, box store, and hey, look, the film was developed here. That, and those are notorious machines for breaking down and getting bad prints. So who's to say that someone didn't blow a snot rocket on a piece of film and then developed it?
Ew.
Disgusting. But. So,
that's,
I mean,
that's beyond disgusting.
Thank you.
And I think those that are truly into it for the right reasons and really try, that are getting the bad name, deserve better recognition. And not necessarily as far as fame is concerned. I mean, they shouldn't get a TV show because that'll just make them worse again, but I don't know. I think in the chat room they're kind of saying that TV shows were good because it brought all of this, all of us into it to find the new stuff.
Well, yeah, there's always something good that, you know, TV or, you know, magazines and things like that can bring to our attention.
Airwolf. Airwolf. Airwolf was a good TV show.
That bring to our attention and open our minds, you know, open to new possibilities and just, you know, new information. And it's just when it goes when it goes overboard.
I think if Ghost Hunters was on like three seasons, that was the only ghost show, and then it went off, and the paranormal field boomed from that, I wouldn't have as much of a problem. It's because now there's 7-8 different paranormal shows on throughout the week, and every single one is similar, but yet there's that one thing in each one that's just completely ridiculous that no one should ever do, and if you did that, you look stupid, and it makes everyone look stupid.
Kind of like the reenactments on some of those shows.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that get me are the ones that claim that they do things scientifically. And I'm not talking about just the TV shows, I'm also talking about the groups. Because the first thing I'm going to do when I hear that, you know, if I ever have a guest on my show, and this is my opinion, so don't hold it against the hosts of this show. This is my opinion and my opinion only. If I ever have a guest on my show that claims that they do things scientifically, the first thing I'm going to do is yell the word bullshit. Because there's not a single person in this field that can truly and honestly say that they do things scientifically, because there is not a single control that they can base their findings off of. I am sorry, that's my opinion, and I have yet to find someone that can completely refute that, because they're going out
technologically.
Well, even technologically, if they mean technologically, then they should say the word technologically, not right. scientifically, because scientifically, the tests have to have a control, and even if they have a mobile lab, they still cannot control the temperature of the location, they cannot control the weather conditions, they cannot control the electromagnetic field surrounding the Earth, so they're always finding some differentials, so they cannot say that everything is static, period, no ifs, ands, or buts.
And, you know, when people say scientifically, you know, that always gives me the thought that, okay, then I can go into that same exact location at the exact same time with the exact same equipment, and I'll get the exact same result.
Exactly. And they cannot do even they who do claim to be, you know, that they do their things scientifically, every single time that they go to that location, they get something different. They get a different reading on an EMF meter. They get a different reading with a Geiger counter. They get a different reading with a poetry book.
But if you do go in that same location and get the exact same results, you've proven it's probably not paranormal. I know that probably, I mean, still isn't scientific, but if you get that exact same result, that's almost what you're going for.
It is, because that's when you really get down to defining the word paranormal. Well, what the hell is paranormal? The root of the words are para, which means beyond, and normal.
Right.
So if you're getting the exact same thing every single time, what's to say that that's not normal? That's not paranormal to me. That's normal for that location.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I don't know exactly what the definition of scientific is. I have my ideas, but if you go into a location and you set up all your equipment one way and you get a reading, such and such readings throughout the night, you go back another day and get the exact same readings, you kind of have a control, a base to go off of, a control setting, and anything that happens outside of that area, that control, is then beyond normal. That's not normal at that point. And that is where you kind of go on the fence as to scientific or just stupid guesses. But once it gets to that point where you're no longer even on that line where it's been, that's kind of the paranormal. I mean, that's what the field is. It's nobody knows. So I think to a degree it is scientific up until things change. And then at that point, because it is paranormal and no one has an answer for it, it's kind of hard to call it scientific or even technological. It's just...
I agree with you to an extent. And I'll reference one item of, and these are air quotes around this word, evidence. I would much prefer to use the word data than evidence, because evidence is something very tangible. Data is just something collected, which could prove or disprove your hypothesis. And our hypothesis is that there are ghosts, there are spirits, there's something extra that we cannot perceive with our five senses. Okay, and I'm going to take the phenomenon of EVPs. How many, and if you are a paranormal investigator, I'm going to challenge you to this. And if you can prove me wrong, then I will be the first one to stand up and say you've proved me wrong. But how many paranormal investigators can walk into a location, ask the question, what is your name? Simple. Just, what is your name?
Right.
And on, what's today? Today is Saturday, March the 27th. You walk into a location right this minute, Saturday, March 27th, and you get a recording of an EVP, what is your name? My name is Mark. I dare you to walk into that location 2 weeks from now, stand in the very exact same spot, ask that very question, and if you get the very same answer, then I will say, you've proved me wrong. I have yet to see one single investigator offer that kind of data.
And that's where it goes from scientific to,
exactly.
Because that one bit of something out of the ordinary that doesn't make sense. If you have a temperature of 68 degrees in that location and it stays 68 that time you go there, and 2 weeks from then, and a year from then, and it never changes, when that temperature drops down to 48 for some reason, you've got that paranormal change where you can't describe it. And that's where it kind of goes from, is it scientific or just bullshit that we're, or what is it? That's kind of where you have to draw the line of scientific and postulation. Yeah.
Something like that.
Now, I do want to reference one thing with EVPs. And I think you'll both agree with me on this end.
Oh, you think so?
I think you will.
Sorry, go ahead.
How many times have you listened to an EVP and heard the very thing that someone said that they heard?
I think if you're listening to someone else's EVP, you should not be told what it says before you hear it. Once you hear what it says, you're going to hear what they say it should say, no matter what.
That's my problem with EVPs. If the power of suggestion, if
right.
you record some bit of disembodied voice or some vocal anomaly where no one was talking in your group, neither you nor anyone else, yet you have a voice that without having to be run through 27,000 filters with your with some kind of audio filtering device on your computer, you get a clear-cut voice. My name is Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And you listen to that. And I just told you, I heard my name is Mark. I've just tainted your brain with the power of suggestion that you will hear the words, my name is Mark.
That's why when you send it to someone, you say, here's an EVP, take a listen and see what you think. You don't say, here's an EVP that says, my name is Mark, take a listen, see what you think. You don't tell them what it says until long after they've heard it 6 times, 7 times, 20 times, 100 times. You let them decide for themselves first.
And well, so that must be odd because, I mean, they've done the EVPs on taps. And, you know, they'll have the person listen to it and then they'll say, well, I think it says such and such and such and such.
Sometimes.
I still don't hear what they're saying.
Yeah, sometimes it's different, but the power of suggestion is...
The power of suggestion compels you.
Exactly.
Now, see, on that end, though, Dory,
yes.
I do know some people that have never, ever been able to hear a voice.
Right.
Regardless of how, you know, it could literally sound like you and me and Mike right now on the radio, as clean and crystal clear as we're sounding right now. And there are people that, I don't want to call them tone deaf, that they just can't hear that hurts or whatever of that voice on the recording, but they've never ever been able to hear that.
Here it is, an EVP is at a lower decibel than what we usually
talk at.
So if people only hear a certain decibel or higher, they're not going to hear that voice.
This is true.
And if you have a program like, I don't know if Audacity does it or not, but if you have a program that says the decibel level, I think if we somehow
somehow
scientifically determine what range human voice can go from and to, and what range a ghost voice can go to and from, and what range a radio frequency interrupting would hit, we would have much clearer idea of what could possibly be a ghost and what's interference and what's human.
I'll agree with that, but the problem is if when you start doctoring things like that, it puts serious doubt, at least in my mind, it puts doubt on the data being offered as evidence or proof.
I think EVPs are kind of iffy anyway. I mean, there's so much stuff that can affect that. I mean, not only do you have the ambient noises that are contaminating it, you've got possible radio waves intercepting and interfering. You've got so many other things that could explain it. That makes it not paranormal. I mean, EVP, there's very few investigations I've been on where I did not get an EVP. But I'll be the first to admit, probably most of those I thought were EVPs were not ghosts.
I'll even say, when I was a kid, I had one of those electronic pistols. You know, you put the batteries in the grip, and you pulled the trigger, and it made, you know, a bang, or, you know, a pew, pew, pew sound. If you sat there and, like, really clicked that trigger fast enough, and you stood at the right angle and everything on the front porch of the house, I could pick up CB signals and listen to truckers as they were going through town.
Right.
And that's just with a little pistol. That's not including, you know, all these fancy gadgets that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
We were at an investigation once. We were in a house, and we were all, it was, the people that lived there were Jewish. So before we started, we did a Jewish prayer. And we had the little walkie-talkies that we use, and they were just sitting down. They were on, but we weren't touching them. They were just sitting there. And after the prayer, someone asked them a yes or no question. I don't remember what it was. And over the walkie, it said yes, which was really strange because it answered the question. But you know for a fact that wasn't paranormal. That was just coinky-dink interception of some trucker down the street type of thing. But the timing was perfect. And if we weren't paying attention or that was on the recorder or something, then you never would have known that, and you would have automatically chalked that up as a ghost.
This is true.
So, and
there are always those things that put things in doubt.
Right. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and that always leads to what we have coined the paradrama of the paranormal world, when you start to question somebody else's evidence or data or proof or whatever, they don't take that and say, okay, I can see that. I could see why you would think that something could have tainted this, so let me go back out and try to get something else. No, it's personal attack. You're calling me a liar. You're doing this and no, I'm not attacking you. You might be the best there ever is. I'm just saying that this one picture or this one recording could have been this. It has nothing to do with you.
Yeah. Right. Well, and then orbs.
Well, before you get on the little circles, what I was about to say, Chris, in answer to that, a lot of people don't understand or can't seem to fathom the fact that their ideas or their feelings or their evidence isn't necessarily a reflection upon them or a part of them. It's separate. So when you attack their evidence, their thoughts, or their feelings, they assume that you're attacking them.
I don't think I've ever heard you say that much in a sentence. At life.
And you totally ruined.
I had to say it, because you said four times before you started the sentence, and then three more times within the first six words. But go ahead.
Okay, fine.
Wow, you actually counted?
No, I didn't really count.
But no, Dory, Ellie, I have to agree with you on that. But what they don't realize is, at the same time, I'm on their side. I believe the same things that they're believing, that they're stating that they are believing. And I'm following along with them. I'm giving them a critical eye and a critical ear, saying, if I have doubts about the one thing that you put out there, one EVP that you're claiming sounds like, you know, a baby crying, and what I hear is a bunch of cabbage being thrown down a set of steps, then that's going to say, guys, something's not right with this one. You're offering it as the absolute positive proof. You may not say the words, but you're putting it out there. When you put it out there, you're offering it as proof. You're also putting it out there to receive the comments and criticisms of your peers and some of those that aren't your peers, which means us.
Right.
And if I'm the first one to say, I don't agree with what you're saying this is, there are tons more that are not saying it.
And or there are tons more that'll say it in a much meaner way.
Incredibly. But I'm not attacking you. I'm saying that this could have been tainted, and I'm not saying that you personally have gone out there and made this most wonderful recording and have gone through 87 different, you know, filters on your audio software to tweak this and this and get rid of this sound and add this in and, you know, put a little bit of echo into it so it gives it a more human sound or anything like that. I'm not saying that you've done that. At that point, you've manipulated something to the point to where it's no longer valid anyway. But I'm not saying that that's what you've done. I'm saying that if I have doubts, there are others out there that are going to have the same doubts as I am. And if
right.
you keep putting out things that are just like that, then that puts us all in doubt. So my suggestion is, before you put it out there, don't just throw it up. Send it to someone, not just one person, not just two people. Send it to dozens of people, and then post it if you get some kind of consensus.
And that is, my folks, the actual scientific way. Before you publish it in an article, you send it out to your peers to see if, you know, others can reproduce the same results, to see if others, you know, hear or see similar things that you do.
Exactly.
Before you publish your results.
It's time to take a break.
I was actually about to ask you if you wanted to take a break or keep going.
In fact, it's well past time to take the break. So I think we're going to take a quick break. I don't know what you had lined up for this break, but as far as I'm concerned, you could just play the commercials we need to play. No music this time, and just come on back after that.
Oh, so you don't want me to play Evanescence? Okay, I'll drop Evanescence.
We played, what, 4 or 5 songs at the beginning during the difficulties. I don't think we need another.
Good point. So let's do some promos.
Yep, just the player sponsors.
Aren't we supposed to be kind of doing that off-air, talking about, you know, what we're supposed to play?
I'd be too late then. He would have already started the song.
See, this is true. He's got you on that point.
And I didn't know before the show that we were going to have technical difficulties and play an extra 2 or 3 songs. Therefore, I'm right and you're wrong. With that being said, you've been listening to Paratrinity Radio on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Be right back.
Where nothing is sacred. Was that happy enough? Where nothing is sacred.
It was happy. It was too happy.
I mean, I can always go deeper. Deeper.
Oh, shut up.
Play the commercial.
Unexplained Paranormal Magazine. A publication dedicated to the paranormal and the unexplained. The magazine features articles covering everything from ghosts and hauntings to UFOs and ancient mysteries. You can also expect contributions from experts in the paranormal field, as well as investigations, pictures, feature articles, book reviews, movie reviews, and much, much more. Join us as we explore the unknown. Unexplained Paranormal Magazine. For more information, please visit our website at unexplainedmag.com. That's unexplainedmag.com.
From Residual Hauntings Live, a
some of you may know, I have run a paranormal group and website for several years. After walking through unwelcoming buildings and ominous cemeteries at night, the biggest challenge I've faced has been finding quality website hosting on a very tight budget. HostYourGhost.com is a high-quality hosting company specifically serving the paranormal community. All HostYourGhost plans include ad-free hosting, email accounts, and an easy-to-use control panel. With packages starting at just $4.99 a month, we scare away the competition. So stop watching your money vaporize and let us host your ghost at HostYourGhost.com.
This is Don Shy, the parapublicist, and you're listening to Paratrinity Radio, where nothing is sacred.
Hi, this is Marla Brooks, host of that bewitching show, Stirring the Cauldron, and you're stirring it up right now with Michael and Ellie on Paratrinity Radio, where nothing is sacred.
The views and opinions expressed by Paratrinity Radio and their guests are solely theirs and do not represent the views and opinions of ASPRN or its affiliates.
We're back.
Hello.
Yeah, if you're not in the chat room listening and talking and communicating and having fun like everyone else, come on over to ASPRN.com/studioB.html. And we are talking about paranormal TV shows and paranormal crap, because paranormal crap is cool.
Not but not. Does the paranormal crap?
I've never seen Ghost Boo.
I have at conventions. They hand out little baggies of Ghost Boo at different conventions. I mean, they can be explained away as not paranormal, but still. People do have Ghost Boo in a bag. So yeah, we were talking about paranormal TV shows, and the one thing that really gets me is these TV shows showing these paranormal groups having this equipment that no one can afford, and making it seem like that's the way it should be for a paranormal group, and you can't do it unless you have all that. In my opinion, all you need is a little handy cam, an EVP recorder, and a flashlight, and you're good to go.
I actually found a website, Mike, that we could get a hold of one of those infrared heat meter things, like the FLIR that they carry around on ghost hunters and all that. I actually found a site that we could get one for a reasonable price. Uh-huh. And believe it or not, now this is what most people don't realize. You know, they go to these high-end electronic stores in order to get some of these things, or they go to the websites that are specifically aimed at ghost people so that they can get it there or whatnot. No, dudes, go to some of these outdoor outfitter guys.
No, I was just listening to another show. They were talking about there's a website where you can get it directly from China. It's like dealsextreme.com or something like that. I don't remember the exact website. But they are saying you can get motion detectors and motion sensors and video cameras for like $20, because you're not getting, and you're cutting out the middleman. You're getting it directly from where they make it.
Oh, now, and see, you just cut mine, because the place where I found, you know, it's only, you know, $15,000 to $30,000 for one of those infrared dupe watchers.
But the main one I was talking about is on Ghost Lab, that gigantic screen, touch screen television, where they can drag things across and like what
kind
you see.
Kind of like an FBI thing.
Yeah. Why the hell would you need that to do ghost hunting? As far as I'm concerned, you need a 17-inch monitor, and that's good enough. And it doesn't need to be touch screen. And when they show that sort of thing, then just seems completely ridiculous.
And then when you go as a ghost hunter and you don't have the fancy gadgetry that the FBI has type of thing, and you've just got, you know, a flashlight, a piece of gum, and, you know, other simpler things, then people assume, what?
Who would you call if you saw one group with a thermal imaging camera of 5,500-inch television touchscreen screen, or someone that just has normal people affordability products.
See, I was getting to that point, but of course you just had to cut me off. But that's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. That's what we did. Have a discussion.
Do I need to play the disclaimer again?
No.
No, he's just being mean. I was trying to say that it just, you know, when people see that, they're going to be like, oh, they're not as good.
Mm-hmm. I was elaborating on your point.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let me get to my point.
I got to it quicker because you took the roundabout way.
I wasn't getting to the roundabout way.
But speaking of groups seeming like they're better because of certain things, I don't agree with this one bit, but I think if you were to charge for paranormal investigations, you would get more clientele and you would do better than any other group that doesn't charge. Because society has the you pay for what you get mentality.
I'll agree with that, Mike, simply because of that.
Because the normal Joe Schmo out there that has a haunted house that isn't in the field doesn't know we're not supposed to charge, doesn't know that that's bad. It's just paranormal investigators that know that that's against the, quote, rules.
It's against the paranormal code.
You know, right.
The code of conduct or whatever. But what people fail to realize, whether we charge or not, this is a business, period. We're providing a service, whether we're providing that service free of charge or whether we're charging a client a dollar or $100 to come out to the location, it's still a service. You know, you pay the delivery guy to bring you your pizza, you pay the guy who sprays your lawn, you know, to make it nice and big and green and lush. What's wrong with
it? The difference is those people always provide in the end. As a paranormal investigator, we're not always going to have the answers for them. That is why I don't think we can charge.
Because
we're not always... The hell was that?
That was
me. Sorry. We will not always have the product.
I'll agree with that, too.
If we go in and do the investigation and say your house isn't haunted... And then 2 weeks later, another group goes in and doesn't and says, this is ridiculous hauntings. We have 5 apparitions on video and 53 EVPs. Then I would want my money back from that first group that didn't get anything and said that their house wasn't haunted.
And see, that's where we run into the problem. Ooh, this place is incredibly active. Ooh, it's not incredibly active at all this day.
Mm-hmm.
Which is where we get back, you know, that full circle. It's not scientific because from day to day, moment to moment, we're not even being the same way. How can we expect the paranormal world to act the exact same way every single time we walk out there?
I mean, that's like assuming that, you know, women are every day, all day, 24/7 bitches. No, we have our good sides too.
You do? I'm kidding. Boy, I really need to play the disclaimer now, don't I?
Oh, I could smack you. But anyway, it's just, you know, it's the same thing. You can't expect people to be the exact same every day, every minute of every day. Why would you expect a ghost? And sometimes, doesn't it have to do with the actual person that's there? Like, you know, they're drawn to certain types of people?
This is true, that there is that theory that paranormal activity occurs with a specific person. You know, that person has that, what's been termed as that energy vibration, where they're that antenna, or they have that ability to charge the location, or something to that effect. That, you know, if it's the homeowner, well, then you say the homeowner's haunted.
Right. And to kind of talk about something that Maggie is saying in the chat room. Yes, I have a lot of problems with paranormal television shows, but I give them full credit because they are the ones that got me interested. They are the ones that brought me to where I am today, doing what I like, doing what I love to do, which is this radio show, investigating ghost tours, and all the friends I've made in this field. So, yeah, I'm glad the shows exist. I can't deny that. At least the one show exists. And I can't say that I wish it had never come on because then I wouldn't be where I am today. Never would have met our lovely producer, Chris. I'd be so sad.
Did you just call me lovely?
Yes, he did.
Oh, dear Lord.
So,
folks,
yes.
Just so you know, Mike is married to a woman.
Oh, had to clarify that one, didn't you?
I had to clarify. Some states do, you know.
Well, see,
what?
So if your show aren't straight.
Not that it matters if you aren't. But this particular host is.
Well, see, Mike, on that point, you actually bring out something that there's a classification, at least in my mind, and I don't know if anyone else will agree with this, but there's three types of investigators, at least in my book. There's, you know, subsets of each one, but mainly there are those that are in it for the fame and money.
There's crap, good, and the best.
There are those that are in it, like you, who are in it for education. You take what you find, and then you've centered a radio show around your thoughts and your guests' thoughts on the paranormal and religion in the paranormal and versus the paranormal, and you present your things that way. You use your medium to educate.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have people like me. Now, here's my disclaimer once again, folks. These are my views and my views only. If you have a problem with them, please message me. I put my email address in the chat room. If you missed it, it's behindtheveil922@yahoo.com. If you want to blast me. If you don't, that's fine. If you agree, that's even wonderful. Then you have people like me. I don't care. I entered this field because of my own curiosity. I have my own questions that I want answered. And that's what I center around. I hook up with people who can teach me what they know, who can educate me on either their beliefs or their ideas, and I assimilate them into mine, and I research them for myself. If you want to join me on that journey, that's fine. If you don't, no skin off my back. I'm in it for me. And if I can help someone by passing on that knowledge, either through personal communication, email, phone calls, shaking your hand down at the corner store and giving you my thoughts that way, or through my radio show, great. Because that's what it's designed to do. It's designed to educate you on the things that I'm interested in. And if you're interested in it too, great. You follow along with it too.
And you brought up something in the middle of that that makes me want to say this. In my case, it, I guess you could construe it as I'm looking for fame if you look at me from, if you don't know me very well. I mean, I have two radio shows. I'm a part of an investigation group. I do tours and I do websites for people. I do a lot of things and it may look like I'm just trying to get fame out of that. That's not why I do so much. I'm not doing it for the fame. I do the investigations because plethora of reasons.
Big word.
Exactly. I was hoping someone would say that. But
yeah, two letters of.
I do the investigations to help the people, to try to find my evidence, blah, 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 all that stuff. I do the radio shows to try to share my knowledge and to learn something myself by talking to other people. I am by no means in this for fame, and I do not want to do a television show. I do not want to go on TV, mainly because I don't like cameras, but that's a whole different story. But I wouldn't want to be on a television show. I have no desire to do that. So, yeah.
For me, I want to know more.
All you do is a radio show, so.
Screw you. But anyway.
I'm going home.
Sorry. It just popped out.
But even that's us doing a radio show. I could,
well,
if one of fame could get a radio show and more like a private or a FM or AM station. We could do something like that that would get us a whole lot more famous a lot faster than on internet radio.
Oh, yeah, we could. but I like this because, what? Will you shush? I like this, doing this, because I want to know different opinions and, you know, learn more. That's where my curiosity is from. I like knowing about other, other thoughts, because then it helps me to kind of assess mine. And maybe I'm wrong, or maybe I'm right, or, you know, ooh, I never thought of that that way, and let me incorporate that into, you know, my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. And if there weren't shows like us and TV shows, we would never learn about all the new equipment and get new ideas and all that. So, yeah, I mean, that's why we're here.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to credit...
I hate to admit that.
I'm going to credit one person right off the bat.
Oh, you don't have to. I know I'm good, but just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Stroke. Stroke. Nice ego. Stroke.
Very credit.
I'm going to credit one of, because there were three at the time, but this man really was the one who's the most famous for it, and that is Mr. Art Bell. A lot of people still have the, who the heck is Art Bell? Well, Art Bell's the guy who started Coast to Coast AM, the one that you hear now with George Norrie. George has been on there now for about 15 years, but he wasn't the person who started it. That was Art Bell. If you've never heard of him, go and Google his name, Art, A-R-T, Bell, B-E-L-L, and read about the man. Listen to some of the older recordings. I mean, he wasn't just ghosts. He was paranormal. I mean, you bring up witches and vampires and all the things that we now see so commonplace. This man was talking about it 20 and 30 years ago. So I'm crediting him with being one of the fathers of paranormal radio and TV, giving us a medium in which we can communicate the same ideas and bring on even some of the same guests have been on Coast to Coast AM,
mm-hmm.
on some of these radio shows on here at ASPRN and at other networks. So the word's getting out. There's something out there. And it started with Art Bell.
Well, there are a lot of instances where somebody started it, but somebody else gets the credit for it.
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's not go there. For instance, the double helix. You know, somebody else, discovered the double helix, but another group that we all, you know, learn about is the one that, you know, gets the credit for it.
Jacob's Ladder.
And mm-hmm. Christopher Columbus discovering America.
Yet there's proof that there were Vikings here before.
Yes.
400 years before. And they all settled in Minnesota. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everyone's
unless you watch that new movie that's coming out, How to Tame a Dragon, they sound like Scotchmen.
But, so, let's get back to paranormal here, instead of Scotchmen and Vikings.
I don't know, I'm stuck on the word Scotchmen.
I meant Scottishmen.
I just feel it.
Scottishmen.
Scotman, Scotch tape, Scotchmen.
Okay, I messed up, sorry, Scottish men. Let's move on.
So, what's that?
Huh? You lost me there with Scotchman.
She's had something up on her computer that looks interesting, and I don't know what it is. So, what is it?
Text suggests Bible written centuries earlier. I don't know if I talked about this. I don't think I did. But apparently scientists have discovered the earliest known Hebrew writing, which is an inscription dating from the 10th century B.C. during the period of King David's reign. And not the rain that falls out of the sky, but, you know, kingdom.
R-E-I-G-N.
Word rain means.
No, I...
Hooked on phonics for us.
could mean that portions of the Bible were written centuries earlier than previously thought. People thought that the Bible's Old Testament was first written in an ancient form of Hebrew. Say that 10 times fast.
10 times fast.
I was about to say don't do it, Chris, but I was too late.
Until now, many scholars thought that the Hebrew Bible originated in the 6th century BC, because Hebrew writing was thought to stretch back no further. But
it's a long article. I don't want you to read it all.
I'm not going to read it all.
But you are reading.
I'm not reading it all.
I want you to summarize it. You're reading it.
Okay, so they found a new copy of the text of the Torah, which is centered around the kingdom of David, which was circa BC 10.
Yes.
Which means
for those that are politically correct, BCE before Common Era.
In case you missed it, that was me going.
No, I got that.
I did hear a duck.
But the writing that, you know, they think kind of predates what was originally thought to be the 6th century, it was discovered a year ago on a pottery shard near Israel's Ella Valley.
So what was the Bible written on? I mean, at what point did the Bible go into paper form? Is that like...
Probably when they discovered paper.
Well, you had the Council of Nicaea, which voted on what books were to be included in the Bible. So there could be hundreds more texts that were never included and have no idea how far back all those oral traditions actually do go. I mean, what the laws of Hammurabi were pounded out in a rock in, what, 9 billion BC or something to that effect. Don't quote my numbers. I have no clue. I'm not looking at a history book. But
not that you would really find it in a history book.
Not
anymore. So this is kind of off the subject of the writing sound. But let's just say for shits and giggles that, and I don't believe this, I don't all believe this, I'm not saying this to be true or anything, but let's just pretend the Bible is all complete crap. None of it's true.
Okay. And your point?
What would a ghost be then? Would people believe in ghosts at all then?
Well, to be honest, Mike, it's not just the Bible. Or Christianity, or...
form of religions, dogma, any form of the Torah, whatever it is.
Well, how many cultures have believed in spirits even before things were put down in writing? Hell, there are even cultures that do not have writing even to this day who still pass down oral traditions of spirits. Mm-hmm. And not just human spirits, but the spirits of the earth, the spirits of the elements, you know, earth, air, fire, water, trees, rocks, everything has a spirit.
I guess my point is, it seemed like up to this point, everybody we talked to said you need God in order, or need God or an afterlife in order for there to be ghosts.
That's not necessarily true.
That's the impression I got from our previous guests. You need some sort of supernatural being, or deity, God, whatever you want to call it. Some sort of dude up in the sky, whatever. And some sort of afterlife for there to be ghosts. So if all this that, I guess, that religion has taught us is not true, would there still be that belief in spirits?
Yes.
I would say so. I don't know if the term spirits would be used anymore. I think there would be some other term. You know, if you talk to another culture who doesn't have, you know, so-called organized religion, they would have another name for spirits, like or something to, you know, in their native tongue, it's great-granddad come to say, hey, you need a haircut.
I'm sorry, Chris. That was great. But, yes, I agree with you, Chris, except on what you tried to do with the foreign language there. I do think that you don't necessarily have to have a belief in God or an almighty up in the sky looking down at, you know, looking down at you, flicking you here and there sometimes in order to really believe in ghosts or, you know, I think it would be named something different.
So if no culture, no culture had a belief in any sort of supernatural entity overpowering God, as it were, there would still be something similar to a ghost, just not necessarily called a spirit or a ghost.
Well, yeah. I mean, granted, since, you know, day one, when, you know, you know the technical term, caveman.
Yes.
It starts with an A, and goes anthropologically speaking.
Yahoo, you got it.
When man first decided, hey, I'm not going to be a monkey anymore, whatever, Darwin, and I'm going to, you know, stand upright, oh, look, what's that big orb? That must be a god. Must bow down. Now I'm back down on all fours again. Whatever. From the moment that mankind emerged or was, you know, birthed or whatever, there's always been something bigger, something out there, whatever you want to call it, God, Yahweh, aliens, Darwin.
But what if wasn't?
What if there wasn't?
Mm-hmm.
There's still things that you cannot explain.
But if there wasn't a uber-powerful person, God, well, that would mean that there wasn't an afterlife, right?
Okay, up until scientific data was collected and put into play in all the experiments, people walked outside. Women wore skirts. Skirt got lifted by wind. You know,
it's paranormal.
It's not now, not for us, because we've got centuries upon centuries upon centuries of research and scientific data and this and that and the other thing to say, it's the wind. Before we had all that to say, it was a spirit walking by. That's a gentle breeze. Ooh, the spirits are angry. It's a hurricane. Ooh, the spirits are feeling randy, you know. She had skirt lift. Go back, wind. Do it again. You know.
So, where does the spirit come from? What is a spirit, then?
In that regard, I really can't give you an answer. Because
I kind of think it depends on, you know, what you believe. Because there's so many definitions out there for it.
Some might call it a higher power. Some might call that higher power Zeus, or Jupiter, or Ganesha, or, you know, whatever, you know, Buddha, or whatever name you want to give to that god. Yeah. Here's a piece of plastic. It's above me. Now it's God. I believe in the power of the plastic. It holds things in, keeps things fresh, put in fridge.
Now remember, God, when you zap Chris for that, just keep it to him, not to us.
Well, it won't be the first time I've been, you know, given a little bit of wrath of the gods. I challenged them once and lost my water for a week, so it won't be the first. It's probably not going to be the last.
You lost your water for a week. I could smell you from here.
Bite me.
That's besides the point. But spirit, I think the definition depends on kind of who you are and what your belief system is. Because it's just changed over the centuries.
I guess what I was getting at is the way an atheist believes today. There's no God, which means there's no afterlife, which means there are no spirits walking on this earth. So if at the beginning of time the word God never existed, there was no such thing to, no such thing as a higher power to pray to, no rocks, no plastic, no whatever, would it be forever kind of like atheistic belief then?
No, not necessarily. I think that somebody at some point would have tried to explain it through a, for lack of a better word, spirit. No. I think somebody at some point in history would have, you know, thought that there were ghosts. Not necessarily believing that there is a higher power and that there's an afterlife, but I think they would believe in it.
I'm going to come at you from this angle. If, and this is one of those, you know, hypothesis, you know, we're it's one of those, you know, whatever situations. If the entirety of civilization did not believe in a higher power, they believe in one thing, themselves. It's a it's a me-centric point of view of the world. Every, you know, it's all about me and me, and I love me and give me to me. At some point, everyone believes that they are God. And everyone also has that belief that, no, I'm going to live forever. My body will die, but I'm still going to live forever. At that point, you've just made yourself paranormal.
Right.
And, you know, dispensation of energy. Oh, I will leave my body form and be energy among the universe. That right there just said you believe in a God. God is yourself.
Right.
And there's nothing more powerful than you.
But you still believe that there is afterlife, too.
Because you just said, my body will die and I will become the energy that surrounds the world. Which means I will now govern over those below me. And I said below, not below.
I was going to ignore that. But spirit is derived from a Latin word meaning breath or wind, like respiration or inspiration.
Maybe that's why they call alcohol spirits.
Because it's inspiration for
something.
Doing bad.
So then what is the definition of a soul?
S-O-L-E or S-O-U-L?
Take a lucky guess. The immortal, immaterial essence, animating principle or actuating cause of an individual life. The spiritual principle embodied in human beings, all rational and spiritual beings, or the universe.
In other words, essence.
Same. So is the spirit and the soul the same thing?
I wouldn't say same, but I would say that they are closely linked.
Yeah, I would think that they are closely linked, but one's the essence of a human being. The other is respiration.
So could you have one without the other?
That's a good question.
I think you could probably have essence without respiration, but I don't think that you would... I don't think it can be flipped.
So you can have a soul without a spirit and not a spirit without a soul.
No, I meant going by definitions, the essence of a human being their soul can exist without breathing.
That's what I said.
But in order to have an actual soul, you had to at once breathed.
So then ghosts are souls, not spirits.
By that logic, I will say yes.
Is that what you believe? A ghost is a soul and not a spirit?
Well, that actually
by those definitions, yes.
What about thy...
Before?
By your little head.
My head ain't that little. But no, I never thought that they were one and the same.
No. What do you, did you think a ghost was a spirit or a soul before? Before you read those two definitions?
I always thought it was a soul. A lot of the times those two words are interchangeable, and spirit just seems to be the common thing. When you start talking about soul, that generally seems to be reserved for a religious point of view. And spirit is less so. Spirit, like I said, could be tied to, you know, the energy of a person that has passed. You know, their body died, but their energy did not.
Mm-hmm.
I would think a spirit is more religious than soul. You got Holy Spirit and all that, and
But so you just tied that to religion.
Right. Religion kind of combined it, not necessarily.
All right.
I mean, if you actually look at the definitions, soul is religious. Spirit is not.
Yeah, right. Because there are some religions that use the term spirit towards things other than the human element. The spirit of the wind, the spirit of the sun, the spirit of the water. You've got, and that's where you're entering the elementals.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
you've just
like
assigned them a personification. That's the word. You just personified an explanation for the wind blowing and the water running through a brook. You know, you've given them that human element without being human.
Yes, you could think of it as a life-giving essence that moves us deeply, or as a source that moves everything from within.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, that sounds like you read that. That's not fair. That's cheating. I don't have anything open but the chat room. That's cheating.
That's not cheating. Where do you think I got the definition for spirit? I pulled it out. Never mind. It is a Latin word meaning breath or wind, dude.
She just called me dude, Mike. Dude, that's not good, dude.
We took it from there as humans and personified it as, you know, when it's the spirit of the trees rustling the leaves, and then from there we decided that it was equated to a soul.
So would you be a living human being without a soul or a spirit?
I don't think you can be.
Mm-mm.
Can you be a living human being without a spirit?
No, because that's your breath.
Can you be a living human being without a soul?
I know a lot of people that act that way.
There are a lot of people that seem soulless, but I don't think you could actually not have a soul. It may just be hidden. Hiding in the depths of the body, going, let me out, let me out.
So then here's another question that may be a stupid question coming from someone who's been in Catholic school my whole life.
I love how you ignore me.
It's an angel. Is that just a completely different supernatural entity all of itself?
Yes.
All in and of itself?
Yes.
Yes, created by God. And they do not have the gift that we humans have, which is free will.
They are not spirits, and they do not have souls. They are a completely separate entity.
Mm-hmm.
And they were made to be servants to God. If that meant that God or whatever deity that you worship says that you go down and you tell Dory that she needs to do this, that angel or whatever term in your language or your religion or your belief system says, You just had a servant sent to you by your deity. Zeus had his. You don't hear about them, you hear about the gods. Well, the gods were also all subservient to Zeus.
Mm-hmm.
You had Hera, you had Diana, you had Hermes, you had Poseidon. They all were subservient to him. Same thing with Jupiter, and you know, he was the father, and then you had Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Pluto, you know, Hades. You had every single one of them had a hierarchy. And
mm-hmm.
in the hierarchy of Christianity, you have God, his angels, and humans, which are a separate entity.
Thank you. Not anymore.
Oh, okay.
I was just in awe in the awesome of your words. The awesome power of your words.
See, people don't think I read. I read a lot.
I wasn't paying attention because I was talking to someone in the chat room.
Wow, feel the love there, folks.
I'm sorry. But I had to be honest. You're feeling the love.
No, I mean, but what you said, I agree with. It was just amazing. And I never thought that you couldn't read. I just...
Well, it's not that
you chose not to.
It's a lot of people yes. choose to believe that someone who doesn't vocalize a lot, although I do tend to talk a lot.
You could say that again.
That again. Doesn't have the knowledge base of someone that they think would be a learned professor or whatnot, which is not necessarily true. There are a lot of people out there like you and me that read anything and everything that they can get their hands on a given subject.
Mm-hmm. Just because you have a doctorate or a certification does not mean that you are an expert.
Exactly. That just means that you've got a piece of paper.
Uh-huh. And if you have a certificate saying you are a certified ghost hunter, it means absolutely nothing. Means you've wasted your money.
Yep.
Well, it just means that, yeah, you were certified, but that doesn't mean that you're going to be the best.
But you can't be certified in an unproven field. In an unproven science.
Methodology?
Methodology. There's a big word that I never would come up with on my own because I don't read.
I don't know. Have you ever talked to an English professor?
Yes.
No offense to anyone out there that has a degree in English, English Lit, or something to that effect, but I just don't see some things as being a viable field of anything. You want to be a doctor of language, you know, linguistics, that's fine. But I have a degree in Chaucer. What? I've got a piece of paper that says I know everything and there is to know about the author Chaucer.
But there's proven fact behind that.
Behind you wrote books. You read the books. Now you're an expert. Because you got a piece of paper. I don't agree with that.
I agree. I don't either. But I'm just saying there's more proof behind Chaucer than there is behind ghosts.
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
So, to an extent, that is a proven science, methodology, much closer than paranormal.
See,
but that still doesn't mean that you could teach it well or that, you know, you could actually perform those actions correctly. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that have PMPs that really...
That's project management crap that she's talking about.
Sorry, folks. They really can't do their job, even though they've got the certification. You could have a CCNA. That still doesn't mean that you could network worth a damn.
Right. But...
Yeah, we can go along. It's okay, Mike.
I don't remember where I was. Oh, yeah. So, paranormal is not a certified, it's not a proven field, so I don't think you should be able to be certified in it. And having a piece of paper don't mean shit. I agree.
But I agree with that. Reason why is it's intangible.
Mm-hmm. Right. But with that being said, people get certified and degrees in theology. That is unproven, intangible field as well.
I'll agree with that, because how can you prove a God? All you really did was study about a God, whether it's your own God or whether it's, you know, the full gamut of all those that have been written about.
Mm-hmm. When you prove God, you're not going to live to tell about it.
I'll agree with that.
So,
you know, look what they say about heaven. Everybody's dying to get in.
So if theology is such a unproven, intangible field, is able to be certified and go to school and get degrees in it and become leaders, per se, in it, then why can't we do it for paranormal?
We used to, but psychology kicked them out.
I just don't understand the whole terminology of parapsychology. Because all that sounds to me is beyond the root words, beyond psychology, beyond the thought of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you gonna put a ghost on a couch and charging $40 an hour to say, I don't feel like myself today, Bob? Lately, I feel people see right through me. Durr, you're a ghost.
But wouldn't it be awesome if we could?
That would be interesting, I'll say that. It would be interesting. I don't know about awesome. I still don't get the whole thing of psychology anyway.
And that's another thing. She brought up in the chat room, what about certified psychics or mediums? That seems to be more accepted if you're certified as a psychic or a medium than as a paranormal investigator. But why is being certified in that any different?
I have a problem with certified psychics and mediums the way it is. Because I have met those that claim to be psychic or a medium, and some I can say are, in my opinion, are legitimate. And some, I can say, are just full of hot air.
Mm-hmm.
The hard thing, and this is really where James Randi came in, is to debunk people, or I hate that word, they're to uncertify that these people have these abilities. It really goes along with, there are those times when things just don't line up for you. You don't have the energy. You can't make a connection that day. And certification for someone with psychic abilities is, who the heck is certifying these people? And who's to say that you're the end-all, be-all authority that says that these people have it?
Right.
If you pay me $50, I'll give you a certificate in paranormal investigation. Send me the money.
Give me a dollar and I'll send you a certificate saying that you've got the prettiest eyes in all the land.
Okay, I wouldn't go that far, Chris. But back the truck up.
Beep, 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 beep.
But so what you're saying is that we need a governing body. Like there is, you know, the AMA and the APA and the all those others.
Certifiable, yes. I don't think we should have that, though.
I don't think we should have a governing body. What I think we should have are people with common sense.
We'll see that.
We wouldn't have gotten all these people without common sense. That leads us right back where we started.
How do you determine common sense? Because common sense to you may be different to somebody else.
Don't step on a nail. Don't put your hand on a hot grill.
Yes, I know this. But
pay for certification.
Yeah, you be able to say you're ripping me off. You know, common sense means exactly that. Sense so common that it's common sense. You know not to go falling down a set of stairs. You know that the up escalator is to go upstairs and the down escalator is to go downstairs. You have common sense.
But we have so many people that don't understand that. Hence why we have those signs that say up, down, you know, left, right.
Yeah, we also have signs that say, you know, no shirt, no shoes, no service, but they don't tell you nothing about pants.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah, it's a suit.
Well, yeah, because that is indecent exposure.
So, yeah, I mean, you can have every sign in the world, and you can have every certification in the world. Does not mean you're qualified. Point blank.
It just means that you're certified. Doesn't, like I said before, just because you have that piece of paper saying that you have that certification does not mean that you actually can perform that job.
Einstein was a patent clerk who chewed on poppy seeds. The man was high, and yet he postulated the speed of light and energy and, you know, was one of the fathers of physics. Largely due to eating poppy seeds, and he was high, but, you know, hey.
And I'm not saying that, you know, every person that has those certifications is unable to perform their tasks correctly. I'm just saying that it doesn't necessarily mean you can.
Certification doesn't declare what...
It means you passed a test.
Right.
Well, hell, a lot of people can pass tests.
I know a lot of people that passed a test to say that they could drive a car, and how many of them people have been in a... run over the hill, or run over a dog, hit a garage because they put the car in forward instead of reverse,
or run through a complete grocery store because they forgot to hit the brake instead of the gas.
And no one can parallel park. They're certified to drive a car. That's scary.
What about doctors of non, like they said in the chat room, psychologists?
Oh, you mean that Freudian or Jungian or someone who examines the mind?
It's proven enough to be able to say that you know it well enough to give you a certification.
You don't get certified. You get licensed.
Okay.
Not really.
It's a piece of paper that says you can do this or you know this.
Well, that goes along with being a medical doctor. You know, why do you think they call it a practice? Why don't they call
practice
it a perfect?
Practice makes perfect.
No, permanent practice makes, you know, perfect practice makes perfect. Practice makes permanent. If you constantly practice it incorrectly, you will constantly do it incorrectly.
Yes, that is true. Kind of like but, people saying irregardless.
But hot dog, hurt doctor has a tangible object that he studies, that he knows, that he can physically, scientifically look at and prove. Yes, you can know everything about a heart.
But you can still screw it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they still make you go through eight more years after you've completed your medical degree before you can even ever perform a surgery on your own.
But a psychologist is strictly, or paranormal, or psychic, or whatever, is not basing it on something that they can physically take out, look at, dissect, and determine 100%.
Some of it is. Because, I mean, in psychology, I mean, psychologists know about the way serotonin and melanin and, not melanin, but serotonin and the other chemical that causes you to be manic or depressive.
But there's so much that's intangible.
Well, when it comes down to the mind, all of it's intangible, to be honest. I mean, yes, chemically speaking, you know, serotonin and melatonin and...
Thank you.
And, you know, serotonin reuptake inhibitors, you know, the drugs that prevent some things, and those are chemically speaking. I mean, chemically speaking, you can eat a bar of chocolate and have the same feelings as being in love. That's chemically speaking. What psychology does is it interprets it. theorizes and postulizes, and over a general amount of time, we'll just say 20 years, generally speaking, a large number of the populace exhibit this kind of behavior when under these kind of stimuli. Now, that is scientific, but it's still a theoretical. It's still
so then,
generalized.
If biology can be a proven science, paranormal can paranormology. That's a cool word. Paranormology could be a proven science as well.
It could be.
It should be, based on what you just said. Because if you're in certain circumstances, you will experience things that seem to be paranormal.
I'll go with your term, paranormology.
It's a good one.
That is a good one. And I can see where it does stray into the psychology area of science, air quotes around that word, because a lot of it does have to do with, you know, we're only human, our mental perceptions. And what I perceive is different from what you perceive, even if we're standing in the exact same spot.
Right. But that's the same with psychology. You know, one person could have multiple personality disorder or dissociative identity disorder. Booyah. And what triggers those different personalities in one person may not trigger it in another.
Exactly.
So what you see, you know, if we're both standing in the same room at Bobby Mackey's and you see a headless ghost or something and I don't, that's kind of the same idea.
This is true.
It is, you know, a case of grouping people together and observing them over many, many years, which is where, you know, these theories that, you know, in learning or psychology come from. They observe these people and ask them different questions from different walks of life. So maybe if people started doing that with
paranormology. Even I can say it, Mike. She can't.
Shush. Paranormology. Then couldn't that become a proven science as well? You know, you just study the people that watch them, that can see them, and figure out what triggers it.
But see, the hard thing about that.
Science, if the right people would allow it to.
But see, the hard thing is
people are skeptical, it won't.
Go ahead, Chris.
I'm trying to use. How many people have the exact same experience in the exact same spot every single time?
They don't.
That's the hard part. Now, see, with regular psychology, you actually do have a multitude of people who experience or exhibit the exact same, lack of a better word, symptoms, the same characteristics. Therefore, it can be classified as depression or multiple personality disorder or...
You mean DID. It is not multiple personality anymore. It's
dissociative. Yeah, or you know, nymphomania. People exhibit the... It's still a disorder.
Yes, it is, but it's still ew.
But you have a multitude of people who exhibit the same characteristics. Therefore, it can be classified under a specific, you know, genre, name, or whatever you want to put it under. Phylum. With the
okay. Oh, wait a minute. I thought you said necrophilia. Never mind.
No, I said nymphomania.
Stop there, sir.
Yes.
You have the same set of people that have the same blah, 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 what you said. Paranormal investigators. You have the same group of people that have the same same experiences. They hear a voice. They get an EVP. They
How
see
many
a shadow.
Hear the same
Maybe
voice?
Not exact same spot, but they have the same experiences repeatedly in different locations or in the same building.
But see, that's where things get tough. If it's the same investigator that has the exact same experience every single time, regardless of the location, then that means it's the investigator. It's not the location. But
thousands of investigators get the same evidence, the same type of evidence out of, say, Waverly.
The same type, but not the same.
And with psychology, people have the same symptoms, but they're not the exact same. I have depression, but my depression is nowhere close to what, say, that chick that's trying to kill herself right now has. It's two completely different things. And yeah, there's a similar symptom. We both get sad. But that's it. Just like with paranormal investigators, we both get EVPs. That's it.
And see, this is why they all say we need to be on medication anyway. My chosen form of medication, caffeine and cigarettes. But I see where you're going with that, Mike. And using your term of paranormology could very well fit and make that a, lack of a better word, scientific point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But it does still make it all theoretical. It's a theoretical science.
Yes, but so is theology and philosophy and psychology.
And so is theoretical physics.
Oh, let's not go to theoretical anything math.
Well, but that just put us all in that same realm, that same category. It makes it a theoretical science.
Right, so then we should still be able to bring back paranormology. Well, what it used to be called, which is parapsychology. But
paranormality. Paranormology. Much better than parapsychology.
Yes, I agree.
So, continue with your thought.
So we should, well, I did finish my thought. You know, we should be able to bring it back as a science. I mean, if we can have a plethora of theoretical sciences, why can't we have that one added?
It's because those higher beings that have the say over whether or not it's there are too skeptical to admit that, yeah, this might really be something that can be taught.
Yeah,
and they just don't think that we're all crazy.
Those same idiots, and yeah, I'm going to use that term, idiots, 429 of them think that there is global warming. Out of the 50-some-odd thousand of their peers, 400-and-some say that there's global warming. So, I really don't put a whole lot of stock in the so-called experts and those that claim to be the end-all, be-all powers that say that this is not a real science.
So you must understand.
The same 400 try to say the world's going to come to an end in 2012.
I hope it does.
Global thing or
I hope
giant,
it does.
Yeah, I don't know, but
I hope not. But I mean, what a lot of them don't understand is that just because you have that doctorate degree doesn't mean you know everything and anything. A great quote from a movie was, I think it was either Aristotle or Socrates said this. What you must understand is that I know nothing.
Yeah.
And that is basically saying that no matter how high in the echelon of academia you go, you still only know a tiny bit. There's so much out there. You can't really be an expert.
Now see, here I thought Socrates said, I drank what?
Well, I hate to do this. I'm loving the conversation, but it's 1:05. I think we should wrap it up.
Dude, you know, when we get off air, we're going to talk about this more like this anyway, so why not let people join in on it?
Yeah.
Sit it out. Go hoit to and say it.
Now, see, what, ladies and gentlemen, what no one realizes is during the production of a show, you hear the show. After the show is when it really gets heated and things really come out, and you hear the words bite me a lot and things like that. But why not listen? Do you guys want to listen to us be ourselves after the show too? Now's the time to cast your vote. Dial 999999 now on your touchtone phone.
I guess my concern is the size of the file when it's put on my podcast page.
Okay, well, let's do this. We'll play the outro and everything, so we'll officially end, but then we can just stay on.
We don't have to do that.
Oh, make up your mind.
I can continue.
It's just a thought. Mike, you guys are the host. I'm just the guy that pushes the buttons. Although you've made me talk a lot tonight.
Oh, wow.
We didn't make you talk. You chose to talk.
You told me if I don't talk tonight, I got fired.
That's not true. I said nothing of the sort. I said you are welcome to talk if you would like.
I did hear that.
Well, the three of us, God, when we sit down to talk, we bounce a lot of things off each other.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see.
I could have said something so wrong at that point, but I will refrain.
Keep your rubber balls to yourself. I knew she was visualizing that.
So, where were we?
So, who's our guest for next week before people fall asleep?
Yeah, actually, dude, plug next week's show. Yeah, words.
All right. Next week, we will have Diona Kelly Said. She is an
investigator.
A paranormal investigator of the, what's the proper way of saying it? Islamic culture? Is that right?
She's a paranormal investigator that is also Islamic. She's a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I just wanted to be PC about it.
Why? So, I mean, everybody has that idea that you're either an atheist or you're a Christian. Or you're a witch. You know, what's it matter that she's Muslim? She's a paranormal investigator. That's it.
She's
sweetie, too.
And it sounds like she's one of the few Islamic Muslim paranormal investigators in America, from what she was saying. I don't know. I haven't really heard of many, but sounds like she is one of the few. So it will be interesting to see how her culture
views
the paranormal and what differences there are. Are ghost spirits to them, or are they called something different? And I'm looking forward to her show. I've been looking forward to it for a long time.
What are they called? Gaijin? I think which basically equates to genie, and genie is a spirit. Don't quote me on that, but that's definitely something to ask her next week. But that really brings up a really good point. Look at the makeup of paranormal investigators. Most of us are either Christian or come from a Christian background, or atheist or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really see a Buddhist paranormal investigator.
No.
Or a Muslim.
Or at least you don't hear about it. Because, I mean, there could be a lot of them. It could be a lot of Jewish, Muslim, atheist, Buddhist, spiritualist ones, but it's always when you watch the TV or read in the newspapers, it's, Christian.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of cultures that are...
I think we assume it's Christian. I think that's just everyone's first assumption because that's what we're so used to.
No, I don't think that's quite it. I think
I'm saying I'm Christian, I'm Jewish, I'm investigating, I'm Buddhist, I'm investigating. People don't tell you what they are. We don't know for a fact that Jay and Grant are Christian. We assume that.
Okay, that's a very, very, very valid point right there.
Yes, that is a valid point.
I hate to do this, I really do, but it does really kind of need to be pointed out. Look at all the paranormal investigators that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But even... Okay, before
wait.
Okay, go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
Actually, I think Dory knows where I'm going, and she's going to stop me before I go there to make another point. But go ahead. I want Dory to go first.
Well, okay. We don't know what Jay and Grant are. They never said, hey, I'm such and such. However, in the early times of their show, didn't they have Christian demonologists with them?
Keith Johnson.
Christian.
Yeah, Keith Johnson and his twin brother. I forget what his name was.
I don't remember either.
So they brought in a Christian figure to help probably a Christian family. That doesn't mean
they brought him on a lot. usually...
Okay. I mean, they are Christian, though.
But that's where the assumption comes in. When people are blessing a house, and they want somebody to come in to, you know, help them with it, they pick somebody of their similar religion, not opposite, usually.
Yeah, because you don't bring in a Buddhist to do a Christian ceremony. You don't bring in a witch to do a Muslim ceremony. You know, I can see where that assumption is very easily made because, for the most part, a lot of paranormal investigators are Christian. Now I'm going to go in an opposite direction.
You do that.
Okay. I'm white. I'll admit it. I'm a redneck. I'm a white boy. How many groups do you see that are of other ethnicities?
Never do you really see an Asian, a Hispanic, or a black.
And if you do, there's one. There's
one. Okay, there's one Asian.
I've seen more than one. I've seen Asian fairly common. Black, not quite as common.
Maybe because blacks usually run out the house anyway. They say, oh, fuck this shit. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Wait.
The views and opinions expressed by Paratrinity Radio and their guests are solely theirs and do not represent the views and opinions of ASPRN or its affiliates.
Okay,
I
now
apologize for that slip, but...
I think because of how popular Christianity is and how Christianity is the majority of what people's religions are. That was a horrible sentence. But because Christianity is the majority, I think that we just assume every white boy group are Christians. And we go with it. Because they don't look ethnic of any sort, so we just assume it's a Christian.
I'll go with that. And I'll even say, I'm not going to use this as an excuse, but I will say that other cultures tend to be more religious or spiritual than here. And I do have to limit my experience to the United States, to America, because, well, one, that's where I live, two, that's where... 100% of the TV shows are aired, and even though, you know, there are millions of cultures here, for the most part, they are very centered in their belief system, and black people do tend to be more spiritual, whereas white people really don't care, or at least seemingly so.
And I think a lot of other cultures respect spirits, and like you said, they're much more spiritual and religious about it, so they're not going out there trying to catch these spirits and I don't know if this is the right word, but interrupt them. They want to leave them alone, respect them.
Well, I once heard that in certain Native American Indian cultures, that if you take a picture of a person, you've, you know, captured their soul. So, I mean, if that's the belief of them, you're not going to see many Native American or American Indian, whatever you want to call them, going out hunting.
And, you know, in Asian culture, spirits are very, very revered. And not even in just their culture, In Haitian culture, spirits are very, very revered. You don't go... You talk to the spirits. You seek guidance from the spirits, but you don't try to take their picture. You don't try to record their voice. You don't... Yeah. Because to them, that's very intrusive. You're not letting them rest.
And you don't go talking to them. Say your name, you coward, and all that stuff that paranormal investigators do when they start provoking. That's just disrespect. And other cultures hold their spirits in a much higher regard.
They are revered.
Right.
And the thing about it is we're not even talking cultures from, you know, if we cross the big pond and go to England or go to Africa or go to Crete or India or someplace, we're just talking right here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. That's Christians are just, as she said in the chat room, Christians are just nuts.
We question a lot. I mean, how many other cultures really lose their faith? Just us.
Mm-hmm.
We question our faith. I really don't know of any Native American Indian that questioned their faith. Excuse me. I really don't know of any Haitian that questioned theirs. I don't know of any, you know, Asian that really questioned theirs. It's mainly us. And I don't know if it's, you know, by the way that we were brought up, we were, you know, as Christian, we were given that Satan is going to tempt you throughout your life. And then we start questioning, and then that's Satan tempting us.
I blame a lot of that on Catholicism influence.
I can't say Catholicism because, you know, this went back even before, you know, before Catholicism.
Right, but especially nowadays, out of all Christian religions, when you say Christian, usually the first thing that comes to mind is Catholicism, at least in my opinion.
Well, to me,
I don't know if that's everyone, but
Baptist comes to mind for me because that's the way I was raised. I was raised Baptist. And then you have the offshoots, the Southern Baptist. Then you have, you know, the far extremes, you know, like the one group out in the Midwest. I won't say their name because I refuse to give them press, who claim to be the most devout of everything in the world, yet they protest everything under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And, but we question. And other belief systems, other cultures don't question.
Is it because maybe we're, in order to, you know, as so many theorists want us to evolve to that higher order of thinking and higher level, you have to be critical thinkers. In order to be critical thinkers, you have to question everything. You can't take everything at face value. And that's what we're taught. You know, individualism.
This is
not
true.
Group.
This is true.
That's why I don't like organized religion.
I don't like organized anything.
Believe. You can't believe what you want to believe. You're taught what to believe.
I knew another group of people that were taught what to believe. And then they slaughtered millions.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I know another group of people that were told what to believe, and they just passed a stupid healthcare reform that takes from me and gives to you, or takes from you and gives to me.
So, I mean, what good does having a church do? So you can pray as a community?
No, everyone to meet your future husband.
Everyone come over to my house and we'll have pray as a community. That doesn't make me a church, but it's the exact same thing that a church does, and it's no different. And I can wear a white robe and read the Bible. Doesn't make it any better.
You made Chris cry. You invited him to our house to pray with us.
No, I sniffed. I had a booger.
Chris, I was trying to bring out the drama, and what do? You say you had a booger.
Hey, that's pretty dramatic. It's in the shape of Abraham Lincoln. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
No, I didn't. Okay, come on now. Give me some credit, will you?
You just pull Mary out of your nose. Oh. At the Virgin Mary on the toast.
Yeah, I'll put it on eBay.
Virgin Mary booger.
Oh, God.
All right. So, yeah. We're getting a little out of hand there.
But
what gave you the first clue? The Virgin Mary booger?
I think when we had the technical difficulties at the beginning of the show. But no, we're raised to question. We really are. And a lot of other cultures are not. They're raised to believe and not to question. When you question,
I don't think we would be so inclined to question if we weren't force-fed so much information from the organizations.
I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that, because you've got my way, and then you've got your way, and then he has his way, she's got her way.
You know. And all of it's wrong because you're not a man of the cloth.
The questioning comes from, you're taught this, but yet when you live, it seems like it's this. So what is it? If we were allowed to just believe what we wanted to believe and didn't have to belong to to a church, then there wouldn't be nearly as much questioning.
Or there would
be
questioning,
I'm sure it also doesn't help when you've got, you're taught that Jesus is a wonderful, loving man who, walked among the sinners and the saints alike. And yet you've got pastors, priests, rabbis, whatever, saying, well, you got to hate them because I said so. That dichotomy is also what makes people question.
Mm-hmm. She used a big word, too. She said question.
Oh, shut up.
When you call someone infallible after the Bible says no one is infallible, that makes you wonder, too. And I'm Catholic, so I'm supposed to believe the Pope is infallible. That's kind of hard. Although the Pope is resigning, isn't he?
He might be. I doubt it, but has that ever happened? Ever?
What, a Pope resign?
Die.
Yeah.
Not
I mean,
that I know of.
If he were to resign, let's assume the rumors, in air quotes, are true, he would be the first, right?
As far as I know, yeah, he'd be the first to resign of natural choice, not natural causes.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of hard to keep your post when you're dead.
Okay, sure. I don't know. I plan to live until I'm 243 years old.
You're not around Methuselah's age, dude. You can't do that. Although he lived close to 1,000.
She called you dude again.
I know. What? Never mind. Dude.
We have been on for quite a while.
Yeah, she's going to make me go deeper, deeper, deeper.
Not for 2.5 hours, I think.
Yeah.
11:30 to 1:30?
Yeah, hey. Yeah, for sure. We've gone down for an awful lot of time here.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd be able to talk for more than 90 minutes ever. Like when I started the other radio show I do, Miami Town Ghost Talk, I didn't think I could talk for 20 minutes.
Shameless plug.
Kinda.
Shameless plug. Tune in Mondays at 9 p.m. here in Studio B for my Miami Town Ghost Talk with your hosts, Jeff and Mike.
At 10 o'clock. Did you say 10 o'clock?
I think I did.
I don't think I did. It's at 10 o'clock, people.
Just I don't know
in.
What he said.
Just come here to Studio B at noon on Monday and stay the whole day. Eventually
something will be on.
But yeah, where was I? What was I talking about?
You were saying it how you didn't think you'd ever be able to talk for longer than 5 minutes.
Yeah. And I've been on here for 3 hours talking.
Yeah, see, isn't it true? Miracles do happen. People who don't believe in miracles, listen to this podcast, and you will find it. Sorry.
You got really enthusiastic. Wow.
Where nothing is sacred.
Exactly. Nothing is sacred.
Shut up. I messed up that one time. I almost said dude. I didn't say it.
Yeah. How about that, where nothing is sacred? That tagline.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, before Mike gets going off on this, I have to tell you guys this story. There was a potential person being talked to as a guest who had one problem with the show before the show even took air. And it was the tagline to the show, where nothing is sacred. That's their only problem with the show. And now they're a little, I won't say hell-bent, but any time that they get the opportunity to, they say something bad about the show. They've never listened to it. They've never been in the chat room. They've never been on air. They've never been a guest. Yet that one tagline, where nothing is sacred.
And we weren't talking to her about being a guest.
Oh, I thought you were.
Just simply posting it on Facebook. She saw it, didn't like it, not one bit. That's not what I wanted to do. But,
and
yes,
I could say
there's nothing sacred. What does the word sacred mean?
To me, I don't care what the Webster's definition or Wikipedia or Google or whatever is. To me, it's something that is held in the highest regard. To me, my mom and dad are sacred.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Sacred has at least 5 different definitions, possibly more.
She picked the last one at the bottom.
Well, it doesn't matter which one, but when you have a word that has so many different definitions that kind of mean different things, I mean, there's the religious version, there's the Chris version, and more.
I have a category.
They're similar, yes, but they're not the exact same. And you pick one of those definitions just assume that that's what we meant.
That
kind
person
of presumptuous.
Did. I mean, when people think of things as sacred, they hold it in the highest esteem, whether it's religious or not. That's how people view the term sacred. You ask most people on the street, what does sacred mean? It means highest regard. That's the consensus of what sacred means. That person read through all of them that were all similar and found the one that was dissimilar just to be argumentative.
But we're not using the word sacred as in the highest regard.
But we are. We're saying that everything can be touched. Everything can be talked about. That we're not holding everything in such a high regard that we won't even talk about it. That's what we're saying.
And there are people out there that hold the statistics to every Super Bowl known to man in the highest regard. I could care less about it. It's a stinking football game. Who cares if Joe Namath threw for 10,000 yards and got 9 touchdowns in 1973? I don't care.
But it's sacred to somebody else.
Exactly.
And I've heard that tagline used before for many other people, where nothing is sacred.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I just don't get it. But out of our 1,000 fans on Facebook and 1,000 friends on MySpace, only one person has had a problem with the tagline.
Because she wanted to be argumentative.
Yes. And
because
she had other problems since then, and yes.
And has she listened to an episode?
I don't know. We'll find out after this show. If she listens to our episode, I'm sure we will hear from her.
And like I said, I don't care if you're a doctoral student. Guess what, dudes? So am I. That doesn't mean you know more than I do.
Stroke. 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 Nice ego. Stroke.
But I wasn't.
I know you weren't. I know. I was just giving you grief. But this really goes in tandem with what we talked about before even show number one. And that is, there's absolutely no one in the world that you can, and no way that you can please every single person every day of the week. Somebody will always get their toes stepped on. And if you, my point of view, if you don't piss off somebody, I'm not saying go out and do it on purpose, I'm just saying if at least one person in the world doesn't take offense at something, it means you're not doing your job. You're curtailing to everyone else in the world, and you're not doing what you want to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Word.
That being said, I'd say we wrap it up now. The chat room's going to bed. Yeah. The people in the chat room are going to bed. The chat room's not going to bed.
Yeah, because it's you just personified a chat room.
Mm-hmm. Because the chat room is sacred.
Oi.
All right, so.
Hey, I just said oi on air. Is that legal?
Sure.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We've had a blast.
Thank you very much. It rocked. It was awesome. Thank you to our producer, Chris, who rocks.
Who talked way too damn much this episode.
And is sacred to us.
That's your fault that you talk too much, not ours. So stop blaming us, dude. So make sure to tune in next Saturday at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in Studio B at ASPRN.com for Diona Kelly Said, and we will talk about her stuff.
Wow.
I went from excellent to crap. So with that being said, thank you everyone for listening. You've been listening to Para Trinity Radio.
Where nothing is sacred.
Oh, you messed that one up too.
Oh, shut up.
You've seen the way her smile went to a real straight face real fast and concentration.
Guys!
Good night, everybody.
I guess that means play the outro. Okay.
Tune in next Saturday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to Para Trinity Radio with Mike and Ellie. Para Trinity Radio, where nothing is sacred, right here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.